In the name of Jesus, who is the same yesterday and today and forever, amen. I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in Christ at St. Luke's Lutheran Church in Covington and St. John's New Minden, where God reigns and the sun always shines. That's the sun with an O and a capital S. I thank you for the privilege of coming over today to have a turn in shining the spotlight on Jesus during your anniversary year. Truly, there is a lot going on today. Memorial Day, what my parents used to call Decoration Day, is a somber day to remember those who have given their lives for the benefit of our nation, not only in the distant past, but also in the recent past. I'm looking forward to being here in Hoyleton tomorrow as you dedicate your new Veterans Memorial at the park. We're also remembering and giving thanks with the eighth grade class here, Garrett, Michaela, Madison, Gabriel, Tyson, Sandra, and Ellie Jade, giving thanks and remembering God's blessings to you, especially blessings through His Holy Word. And as you consider a century and a half of God's goodness to you here at Trinity, we remember how God has blessed you, and we give thanks. And I was struggling as to how to tie all these things together until last weekend. Dawn and I were blessed to be able to travel to Emma, Missouri, for the baptism of our little grandson. And his name is Zechariah, which means the Lord remembers. And his dad, being the pastor there, chose this hymn we just sang, which is the song of Zechariah. And so I was directed to Luke chapter 1, the words of Zechariah, upon which that hymn was based. You remember Zechariah, it was an elderly priest. His wife Elizabeth was well along in years. The angel Gabriel came and appeared to him and told him that they would have a son and they should call his name John. I'm sure the eighth graders remember all these Bible stories very well, don't you? And these are the first words that Zechariah spoke after 9 months of being mute because he did not believe the word that the angel spoke, even though they had been praying and praying for a son. But now on the day that John is circumcised and given the name John, he bursts forth full of the Holy Spirit and speaks a song of praise to God. And at the center of it is the word remember. And if you'd like to follow along, it's on page 226 in the hymn book. One of the songs of praise that can be sung in the order of matins. That's page 226. This is his song. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, when the day shall dawn upon us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. This is the text. And first, we'll talk about our remembering, and secondly, about God's remembering. Zechariah is careful to bring to mind and remember some heroes from Israel's past. For example, his servant David, God's servant David. And you remember, God had promised to David that an offspring or seed from his own body would sit on the throne of God forever. There would always be someone from David's line ruling over the people of God. And you and I remember that today because we know that the Lord Jesus, great David's greater son, he is that king and he rules over us as well. You remember Elizabeth, the mother of John, was related to Mary, and Mary had already been told by this time, this good news, also from the angel Gabriel, that the child that she was bearing in her womb would be great and would be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. We remember David because of Jesus, his greater son, and the security we have under his reign, a reign that will never be shaken. Zechariah goes on to remember the holy prophets, the people who spoke from God since the world began. They spoke as God gave them messages, and God's word came to people through them. They made many promises, and we are here today in confidence because God has kept and will keep every promise that he has made. One of the promises he made through the prophet Isaiah was that the branch of David, the branch of Jesse's stem, would be a banner, a flag around which all the nations would gather. And we see that coming true to this day. Zechariah mentions Abraham. God acted to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham. When you're God, you swear by yourself because you are what's above all solid and lasting and trustworthy. He swore by himself that Abraham would be the father of many nations, that his descendants would have victory over their enemies, that all nations on earth would be blessed through his offspring. And we today are among those children of Abraham. We share that faith that Abraham had. You've probably sung the song, "Father Abraham had many sons. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord." We remember because it brings the truth to bear on our lives today. And there are people in your history that are worth remembering as well. The history here at Trinity. In Hebrews 13, it says, "Remember those who spoke the word of God to you, imitate their way of life, consider the outcome of their lives as well." I'd like to tell you about a couple of those people in your past who spoke the word of God to your forefathers and mothers. The first is a man named Johann Friedrich Koch. He was a teacher in Germany. He taught in the same village from which Pastor C.F.W. Walther came, Langenschürsdorf in Saxony. And as a young man, still in his 20s, he and his wife were in that big group that came to Missouri and finally to Perry County, Missouri. If you go there, there are a couple of museums and you can learn the whole story about that group. And you know, Pastor Walther, humanly speaking, is the father of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Well, Teacher Koch was from his town, and he taught in St. Louis for 15 years at Trinity, where Pastor Walther was pastor. After Teacher Cox's first wife died, he married again. Pastor Walther performed the wedding and also became sponsor to one of their children in this second marriage. In 1862, Teacher Cox was called out to New Minden and accepted the call, and he served there until he was 70 years old, when he retired and died a few months later. He's buried on the cemetery there north of the church. Unfortunately, the grave is not even marked, but we know about where it is. But this Teacher Cox was a faithful spokesman for God. For example, when one of the members at St. John's was murdered in 1865, Teacher Cox stood there with the pastor in front of the mob, the people of St. John's, your ancestors, and the St. John's ancestors as well. He stood in front and urged them to turn the accused over to the authorities, not to string him up. Must have been a very difficult stand to take, just the two of them, apparently, against the mob mentality. It was this Teacher Cox who was the advisor of the families that belonged to St. John's that lived in Hoyleton and beyond. He was their advisor as your congregation was organized in 1867. And on the day the first church was dedicated, November of that year, three times the number of people were present than would fit in the little building. The others were standing outside, listening, participating, and Teacher Cox directed the choir in several numbers, all very well performed, it says, and very fitting numbers. Another man in your past that I admire is your first pastor, Pastor Oscar Katein. Like so many others, he was born in Germany, received some education there, and came here as a young man to study at the St. Louis Seminary. When he graduated, after 2.5 years there, they sent him out here to Trinity Hoyleton, and he served here his entire ministry, 36 years, and I believe he's buried on your cemetery. Now, Pastor Katein was concerned not only for the flock here at Trinity, but also he lifted his eyes to look around and see what else needed to be done. For example, for a couple of years, he also conducted worship at Hoyleton. And for 7 years, get this, he went to Iuka every other Sunday afternoon to conduct worship. Now, I was just at Iuka this past week for our pastor's conference. It takes an hour to get there today from New Minden, almost the same from Hoyleton here. And if you don't have a map with you and they've taken the signs down for painting, you're lost. It's at the dead end of a country road. Now, I can't imagine what was that like to make that trip every other Sunday afternoon from 1873 to 1880. How long did it take on horseback or with a horse and buggy? And yet, while this man was also taking care of everything here, teaching the school some of those years here at Trinity, going to Hoffman for services, and making this trip to Iuka every other week, those were some stout-hearted folks, those people of God who went before us. He also was instrumental in starting the congregation in Centralia. We remember those people because of their faithfulness, even as Zechariah remembers these heroes of faith. But even while we're talking about us remembering, and you remembering everything you've learned here at Trinity School, the important thing is that God is doing the remembering. After all, that's really what Zechariah's song is about, that God is going into action now, especially with this little baby that Mary is carrying, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. He not only has his promises in his mind, but the Lord is bringing them up and acting upon them. He's carrying out exactly what he said he would do. Really, he talks very little about his son John in this song. He's mostly concerned about Jesus, whose way John will prepare. He'll prepare the way for the Lord to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. Indeed, through the coming of God's Son, God has visited and redeemed his people. God himself, in the person of his Son, came into human flesh and paid the price to set the world free from sin. He's raised up a horn of salvation for us. And because of all of this, we are victorious over our enemies, sin and death and hell and the power of the devil. And we can face the future with confidence. Zechariah says that God has done all this to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. As you go on to high school, you can go forward without fear. Our young people, when they find a godly mate, can go forward, get married, and start a family without fear, because we have the forgiveness of sins. The ransom has been paid. Christ is living, and he is with us. Those people, those stout-hearted forefathers and mothers of ours, they went forward without fear. You know, the decade of the 1860s was not an easy time for the congregation at New Minden. The decade started as these German immigrants were flooding the area, and the church was way too small. They knew they needed to build a bigger one, but there was dissension in the congregation as to how this was to be carried out. And the pastor and the assistant pastor, who also taught the school before Teacher Koch came, they didn't get along. The congregation was so frustrated, they finally asked the synod, "Can't you get them both a call and get them out of here and we can start over?" And that's what happened. And they got a wonderful pastor, another missionary pastor named Heisemann, in here. The congregation flourished during the 4 years that he served. But then the Civil War came, and who knows all the hardships and shortages and difficulties that brought, even here in Illinois, even though there weren't any battles here. The need was so great, they went ahead and built that church right during the war, and they also built a brick parsonage the next year, 1864. They had wanted to start a school out at Coon Branch in those years already, but they couldn't get a teacher because the war was on. Finally, after the war was over, they were able to get a teacher. They built that school. It started in 1868. Maybe there are still a few graduates from that school among you here today, the Coon Branch School. It was hard times financially because of a sort of a bank panic, what we might call a depression or a recession on the whole economy of the nation. In the year 1865, 85 members at St. John's died and were buried. That's almost one-tenth of the congregation, most of them little children. The infant mortality rate was very high. And in the midst of all of these struggles, there was this movement to start a congregation at Hoyleton to release 20 families and to send some money with them to get started. Now today, can you imagine the uproar that people would have about such a proposal? Ah, we can't afford it. We've got debts. We can't do it. But they went forward, and in the minutes and in the history, there's no record of any hesitation or fear. 20 families in this area and beyond were released to start the Trinity congregation. And they sent over between $1,200 and $1,500. That's enough to build a house, at least, in the money in those days. They were fearless. They went forward in faith. They had to sell part of the farm, the 55 and a half acres that had been given to the congregation when it was founded, but that helped pay down some of the debt. But they struggled with debts for a period of years, but God was with them. They trusted in Him. God was remembering His promises to them even as they went forward in His name. The text speaks about the forgiveness of sins by which all of our failures are covered over as we seek to serve the Lord. The Lord's Supper is a great blessing from the Lord by which that forgiveness comes to us. And remember, Jesus said when He instituted, He said, "Do this in remembrance of Me." Now, in our minds, we tend to think of it this way, that it's sort of a memorial day for Jesus, that we try to stir up memories for someone who's dead and gone about what He did in the past. But the Lord's Supper is really much more and really quite different from that. It's really about the Lord remembering us, the living Savior who is with us to come to us in this sacrament. It's done in remembrance of Jesus. Jesus remembering us, remembering His covenant that night when He was betrayed, so that when we come to His table, He remembers and He gives us His body and His blood for the forgiveness of our sins. You see how upside down we get things? We think we're doing all the work, we're remembering, but really it's God being faithful, God remembering, God caring for and bringing us to mind. Remember the flood at the time of Noah and the rainbow that God put in the sky afterwards. We see that rainbow after a storm and we remember God's promise never again to destroy the world with a flood. But if you read the account in Genesis 9, what it really says is He put the rainbow there so that He would remember, so that God would remember never again to send a flood like that. And in closing, I'd like you to consider an older woman now with the Lord who lived at New Minden. She was a woman who had a great memory. She went to a Lutheran school, memorized many Bible passages and many hymns as well. And they tell me that she could sit through a whole service and never have to open her hymn book, and she would sing all the liturgy and all the hymns, all from memory, because she had them memorized. But wouldn't you know, as she got toward the end of her life, she was stricken with Alzheimer's. And in the nursing home, she could hardly remember a thing. And one time when I went to see her, she rattled off a profanity. And this was a very pious, godly woman who worked very hard her whole life to speak and act only according to what was pleasing to God. Now, isn't that one of our fears about old age, that we'll forget that filter and our manners and our faith that we learned? We'll stray away from the Lord, perhaps? Well, dear friends, there's no need to worry. Even though she may have forgotten everything, God remembered her. And when the time was right, He brought her safely to His heavenly kingdom. And here at Trinity, God will remember you. He will not forget. Yes, He forgets our sins, because Jesus has taken them away as far as the east is from the west. But He will remember you and His promises to you, so that you too may step forward in the future without fear, and boldly and confidently in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.